Blessings of light and welcome this week to astrophysics class 5-2. The second class in the fifth month, this is the 18th encounter. I hope you've all been sharing before these classes and afterwards. This is a very important part, and I keep telling you this because words crystallize thought. They crystallize thought and give you an inner knowing, a consciousness within your heart. It makes the experience more vivid and more distinct by sharing. Otherwise, you may let your fantasies or illusions creep in. Sometimes exaggeration creeps in if we're not careful on what we are sharing. If we do not share immediately, then our fanciful mind may add this or that type of filigree to make the story sound interesting. Quote, "But interesting is the truth, the love and the wisdom of God, the purity and the perfection. This is where our interests lie." And keep up your breathing exercises and your visualization exercises and share your experiences with these as well. For this will increase your supernatural power, your cosmic consciousness, your psychic abilities, and give you mastery over your willpower and desire. There is purification in group action. That's why we're asking you to do this. This is part of your development of mastery, the sharing. So share completely and in depth, but stay out of personal areas. Share your higher spiritual consciousness from your heart, your throat, your brow, and your crown now. Do not get involved with your thinking, emotions, and your actions, how you feel about it, what you think about it. Overcome I, me, and mine. As part of your self-mastery this week, we want you not to say I, me, or mine. Refer to yourself as your name, or do not refer to yourself at all. Talk about other things. We are seeking to break now the self-centered point of view. In this development of mastery, today we're going to discuss the heart-centered person, and we're also going to be discussing the spiritual or crown or head-centered person. And we're going to be talking about the various steps on the path and their manifestations in each one of the chakras. There is a definite difference between a mystic, a psychic, a healer, a spiritualist, a medium, a channel, a sensitive. There's difference between spirit controls and doctors and masters of light. There's different attunements to higher consciousness. And there are different ways of perceiving your spiritual and supernatural powers, for there are different paths, and as many paths as there is also descriptions for all those paths in words to try to crystallize this principle, this power. Think of it this way. There's many paths, and they're all looking at the same thing. It's like 10 people watching an accident happen. If you talk to the 10 people, they have 10 different stories. The same with the manifestation of supernatural or higher consciousness. Each sees it from their point of view. We're seeking to bring you to a point of view that you may see directly and openly the oneness all about you, God touching you at this very moment. To learn your clairaudio, clairvoyance, clairsensory powers, this is what we're concentrating on now. The exercises you have been doing is building a stabilization power within the third eye as you visualize the aspects of the logos, and you follow each one of those aspects deep into consciousness. These are to attune you to universal principles and powers beyond that of the physical and psychic level, to give you power beyond the earth-bound level, to go into the image of God, for all things are made in the image of God. You can say God's imagining everything. I wonder what would happen if God just stopped imagining everything. In the power of spiritual healing, this is a higher channel of energy. In the power of spiritual channel for wisdom or for counsel or ministering. This is also a higher power. So let's look now at this path. In the root center, at the base of the spine, people who are bound in this level of consciousness are bound with the senses. They don't know where they came from. They're not sure why they're here, and they're not sure where they are going. They come from some hazy void, and they're off to some hazy void, and they're trying to do the best they can right now here. They're lost souls. These souls have not found the path or found the way. They only trust their own senses. Whatever they can touch or taste or smell or see or hear, this is what they believe. They cannot go beyond this because nothing else seems tangible to them. They must have solidity. They must have solid things for them to be convinced. So they go through the school of hard knocks. They get banged around a lot because they have these fixed positions. When you are growing, you'll find as we go up the chakras, you get more expanded, more expanded, more expanded, less and less tension, finer and finer substance. So this is the least or the lowest state, the lost soul. See, they have fallen to the last step on the involutionary path called individualized ego. And so they are now bound in their individualized ego. They have to return to their spiritual ego to ascend. But as long as they are bound in this personality, this little ego of their feelings, their will, their actions, their thinking, their desires, their security, then they will do anything for survival in that level. Even to hurt someone else just to feel secure. So the lost soul is going around. It doesn't have consideration for others' feelings, for others' consciousness before itself. It is always putting itself first. And on the spiritual path and path to higher consciousness, we must have the other individual first, and we come last. We are the least. They are the greatest. We see God in them and fix on God in them and talk to God in them and address that state of consciousness at our highest level. The lost soul is always addressing the personality. The second level is the spleen center, and these are the seekers. Now the seekers are the ones that are looking for some way. They say, I know there's something. There's something there that everybody else is feeling. They're getting joyful. They're getting happy. I want to be happy too. I want to be joyful too. I want to get my desires. I want to have fun in life. And so they're fun loving. They're seeking a way. And so they go around. They go to this way and they go to that way and they go to another way. And they're just seekers. They're not finders. Seekers seek and finders find. See, they're not finders. What they do is they keep seeking. And they seek every place they can seek, but they don't realize that someday they have to find something and follow it and discipline themselves to follow that path. But they're always looking around. I'm not going to take this way or that way. I'm not going to be a Christian or a Buddhist or a Hindu or a yoga. I'm not going to study none of that. I'm going to not study all of those different things. But I'm going to go around and see what they're all about. And I'm not going to study those different philosophies and different psychological states, all of that. You know, I'll go and look at it. I'll see, but I'm not going to. I'll make sure I don't find nothing because I might have to stay there. You see, and so the seeker doesn't want to get attached, but they are attached to seeking. See, the reason they can't get attached to something else because they're attached to seeking. And so as they attach themselves to seeking, they get in the habit of seeking. I've seen seekers still on the path in their 70s and 80s. They're still seeking. They're still seeking, where's it at? Where's it at? They're still seekers bound up in emotional energies. In the first level, it's some emotional traumatic experience that's bound the soul to the physical body. It may be the way the parent has brought the person up or an accidental energy. The second level is an emotional block. The person is seeking, but they're afraid to let go of this seeking, afraid to let go where they're at. They have a fear in them. They don't know where they're going. I mean, will I be accepted if I get there? Will they really love me? You know, those kind of questions happen to the seeker. Does God really love me? You know, if they would practice, the seeker can lift their energies by practicing love and devotion to God, by raising their consciousness by practicing love and devotion to God. Excuse me, would you move that fan around for me? Now, I'm going to take a drink of water here, but don't tell everybody I sit around and talk and drink a lot, okay? So the seeker on the path is seeking. The lost soul is wandering around. He's not going to get attached to anything, see? He says, I'm not, that isn't secure to me. I can't touch that. I can't smell it. I mean, you're telling me a lot of stories. I've seen some things, but I don't know how that happens. So, I better just keep free of all that stuff. See, they stay free, thinking they're free, but they're lonely by themselves. The emotional one, they're trying to reach out. I want to be sociable. I want people to accept me. Please accept me. They don't feel the way I feel. And this kind of consciousness keeps them seeking. When you are seeking, you should look for the positive ways that uplift you and aspire you to realize your true nature and your true self, and you will get over seeking. All of these are steps. All of us were a seeker at one time. All of us were lost at one time. We didn't know when we came into this dimension, unless your ancient memory was awakened when you came in. This is very rare. But in the mass of consciousness, they usually don't know. They're lost when they come in. And if their parents are practicing Christianity, or if their parents are practicing Buddhism or Hinduism or the Tao or some ancient ritual or kahuna, practicing the huna, or if they're practicing the natural sciences or any of those things, then that will be written in the consciousness of the individual, and they will think, that's what I am, you see. When really the goal is God, and you can get caught on the path. You can get caught seeking. The next step is at the Naval Center, and these are do-gooders. Oh, they're going to help everybody. I just want to help everybody. I just want to make everybody happy. And, if they think the way I think, then everybody be happy, because I'm a bright thinker. But really, a lot of times they are trying to do good without any spiritual point of view, without any higher point of view. They want the recognition themselves. If they do good, they want someone to come up and say, hey, you did good, hey. And tap them on the back and give them a big pat, because they're using their will to help somebody. Then they'll go around. I gave this other person the money to help them at this time, or I went over there and cleaned their whole house. They couldn't do a damn thing by themselves, and they do all these kind of things, and they take the recognition. They give me, and they won't give anything unless they get something. See, they're giver to take kind of energies in this lower personality level. They're trying to do good, but they have no spiritual insight. No insight to the whole problem for all of humanity. They're just taking care of little symptoms here and there. The whole problem of humanity, if there is one starving person, you don't concentrate on one starving person. You concentrate on all the starving people of the world. And you see all of the people being filled and fulfilled in all the levels of consciousness. You get off of this limited point of view. But do-gooders have a limited point of view. They're only going to work for their little cause, and I'm going to do good here. And they feel they have to do good, otherwise they won't go to where they think they might go, but they're not sure about where they're going to go, but they want to be sure, so they're trying to get proof by doing good. See, and the do-gooder needs proof. See, if you can prove heaven to me, then I'll go there. You see, if you can prove the path to me, then I'll walk that path. But show me first. See, and many times they don't understand that you have to experience the path to know the path. You can't just talk about it. And do-gooders love to talk about it. They talk about it all day long, and then they go home and they change their face, they change their consciousness, and they go into this old persona. Oh boy, I really share today. I was the one that had the best ideas. I had the best talk. I did the best. I did the good. I'm a goody good two shoes. Hey. That kind of consciousness. So these first three levels are bondage for the soul. Even the psychic knows not to get bound up in these levels of consciousness. The sensitive knows they must purify these levels of consciousness to raise and to be more sensitive, to raise to the higher consciousness. If you do not stay objective in this next stage, soulful being at the heart soulful being at the heart, if you do not stay objective at this soulful beingness at the heart center, then you fall into these lower areas. You should feel comfortable in your environment. You should be calm within your consciousness. So soulful beings like a calm environmental energy, they like to merge, they like to have go out in the environment, they want to control in their environmental levels, they want to understand things, they want to know things. So they're willing to study, they're willing to give love and devotion, they're willing to give service, they're willing to take action in higher spiritual levels. Whatever they can know, they can do. Now the knower is very powerful, and in a moment we're going to talk more about the knower and about the soulful being. But let's move on now here to the next level. This is at the throat center. And at the throat center, we're concentrating on the creator, the creative power. Now the creators, the individuals that create, they want to get their talent out to everybody. Sometimes they fall back to ego. You notice what happens to a star or something that becomes very ego-centered? The public shuns them. Because creators know there has to be a prosperity flow, a flow of energy between themselves and the people. They must give out their talents. They must give them away out on the market, so to speak, or out in the world, so that more and more and more people can support them. And so the freer they are in giving their talents, the more support they get. You notice the greatest stars, they have great causes. They're building hospitals, they have fighting diseases, they're helping feed children, they're doing all of these humanitarian and expanded areas of consciousness. And some of them are doing it for ego purposes, but when they're projecting out, you notice they go into a different area of consciousness. If you've ever seen a singer sing, and then you've seen them being interviewed, it looks like there are two different characters there. Because they put on the character of the higher self of the creator, and this beautiful creative power flows through them. Then they come back to their personality levels to share that, and many times they're looking out to get recognition for those kind of things. So if you're a creator, let your creative powers flow outwardly to all people. See it as a prosperity flow. Don't always look for money for what you get in your creativeness. Don't always look for fame. You should be concentrating on your creative power. Wherever you pay attention, you energize. So you are energizing consciousness. You are energizing consciousness by paying attention, concentrating, observing, meditating, contemplating, being super conscious. You are energizing a power. So if you pay attention to your creativeness, you practice. Practice every day. Not just once in a while, every day in a rhythm, just like you meditate every day in a rhythm, that constant cycling of energy over and over and over again starts building up a power. See? You have to build it till it's power. Don't stop when it's just energy and you feel good from it. Don't stop when you feel a power pouring out of you in a force field. You wait till you have power, dynamic power, and then you give your power out. You feel that power by surrender, letting God flow through you, letting higher consciousness flow through you to manifest a greater experience. Once you've expanded your power, it's always your soul that receives the benefit of it. Now the next level is the brow chakra. The brow chakra is light workers, individuals who now are working at the level of light. They are dispensing light, they are sending light, they are manifesting light all around themselves and to others. They have a universal point of view. Their vision is broad and wide and deep in consciousness. They're looking from a world scope. They're looking at one God, one humanity, one eternal existence, not as a bunch of separate entities, though they recognize there's individuals in these fields of consciousness. They don't take the field away from the individual or the individual away from the field. They see that you are an individual, and you are walking in God's kingdom, and you are walking one with God in all areas, and you start seeing how other people are one with God. You look for the positive and uplifting supernatural grace that's in the individual, and you seek to draw this out of them. For light workers seek to release the darkness and transmute it into light. So they give light and dispense light wherever they can. They dispense it in their appearances. Once St. Francis was leaving his monastery, and he said to a young novice, he says, "Come with me, we're going to the town to preach today." So down to town they went, and they started walking through the town, and they were looking and smiling at people, and they started walking out of the town, and they got a little ways out of town, and the young man said to him, the novice said, "St. Francis," he said, he didn't say St. Francis, he probably just said Francis, because you can't be a saint in the Western world until after you're dead, see. In the East you can be a saint while you're living, but in the West you have to die and then get approved, you see. So we'll call him St. Francis anyway. So he says to St. Francis, he says, "I thought we were going to town to preach." And he says, "They saw us, didn't they?" See, you can teach by your appearance. You can teach by your words, by your emotional actions, by the drama, by creative power, by higher consciousness, by supernatural awareness. You can come from any level of your consciousness and project a spiritual character that gives the world an uplifting inspiration. And so you're generating light. See, St. Francis was generating light. And as he went around and he smiled at the people, they smiled back. That lifted them. Isn't it nice when you smile? Yes. And the smile comes on, you feel this uplifting. If you'd only put a smile on your face, enjoy life. So the light worker is seeking to spread the joy of God, the love of God, in the power of divine grace. Now, grace is accepting the joy, accepting the wealth, health, and happiness, and the abundance of all good things, that it is your Father God's good pleasure to give you all those things. But if you have to work for them, then you are not in grace. And when you're in grace, there's no work, and when you're working, there's no grace. The next level is that of the Master of Light. The Master of Light is working from the center of the crown. This individual can appear and disappear, can manifest as many images or bodies as he needs to work with on the planet. He can appear in the inner planes and ascended consciousness. This Master of Light is not an ascended master yet. They are the walking masters that are upon the planet right now, dispensing light to all of us beings. They're great batteries and radiance of energy. You may have come into the presence of one of these great beings at time. I'm very fortunate to have met so many great beings in this lifetime upon the planet, so many beautiful, great outpourings of light, selfless service, not just to humanity, but for God's sake. See, the Master of Light is God-directed, is living in the infinite consciousness, the infinite intelligence, the mastery that God has given him, the dominion, the purpose of life, the health and flow of life. The Master of Light stands in these areas, dispensing that love and truth and wisdom of God, direct channel to God. There is no closed door. The doorway is open. The doorway is open in the Master of Light. So you can see there's a great distance between the lost soul and the Master of Light. You know, once there was a description given by a master. He said that the difference between a lost soul and a Master of Light was the difference between a cockroach and a human being. That's a great difference in consciousness. Don't give too much power to the cockroaches now. They may have been here longer than man. Over 300 million years they have been found here on this planet. So they have been here for a long, long, long period of time. But man came from God. God created the cockroach, but God gave of himself to create man. He created man with his image, with his power, with his consciousness in this micro or smaller state, for that macrocosm or cosmic conscious level of awareness and a lifting to higher abilities, knowing that you are an individual, but you are all things. That's the image of God. God is in every individual manifestation, right down to the very center of every atom structure, every molecular structure, every cellular structure upon this planet. God is centered there and is all about touching us inward and outwardly. God is within, God is at hand. Not somewhere across town, not in some building, not up on some sacred mountain, under a sacred tree, not by the sacred rivers. God is there, but God is here right now. And he's as much here as he is any place else. The only thing is, people use recognition for those places and like to go those places, and they've gone those places so much that they create an atmosphere of humanity within them too. But you can meet God anywhere. God has no limit to time and space and circumstance. God is beyond all these things. Now, as you're going up this path, after you leave this place of lost soul, and you become a seeker on the path, you finally realize you're going to do good for others and do good for yourself. You become a soulful being. You become calm so that you can get off your position and merge. So this starts the first level of psychic power when you become a soulful being. As you become calm and still, you begin to know more things. How can you tell what the other person is thinking if your mind is cluttered with thoughts? How can you tell if someone else is feeling something if you're so emotional yourself, full of so many emotions? So you have no room for anything to come in. How can you help others when you can't even do the actions to keep your own environmental areas, your own body, your own consciousness in shape? Only when you come to this point of view that is greater than your personal self, that is higher than your personal self, will you begin to know. Now, psychics don't necessarily have to be spiritually oriented. They can say, I know this thing. I don't know how I know this, but I know this, and let me tell you. And a lot of psychics are working at this low level of consciousness. Some are in connection with spiritual guides and controls and doctors and those kind of guides on the other side, because they are reaching through the emotional plane, the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension of consciousness, into the sixth dimensional level at the heart center. The heart center is a sixth dimensional energy. See, here around the third dimension, we have back and forth, sideways, up and down, those three dimensions. The fourth dimension is in and out, and the fifth dimension is expand and contract, and the psychic dimension, the sixth dimension, has all the bands of knowledge, the categories of experiences, all the bands of knowledge. They're called the banks of knowledge. And you can go to these banks of knowledge and get intuitional flashes. You can get understanding there, reflected out of your own understanding, your own soul's experience. And you can awaken your presence of soul to ancient soul power, to that power you learned from the time you left the Godhead till you've come into this presence that you're at now. Remember, you are present. You've always been present. You've never been in the past. You've never been in the future. You've always been present. You may have looked at those things. You may have astrally worked in those things, or in your light body gone into those things. But you, the self, which is pure, perfect, whole, and all, has not been ever out of the presence. What eludes us is we cover our soul with all this persona, this makeup, this mask. If you ever seen the mask at the mask of tragedy and the mask of happiness, you know, you've seen those in the play, right? And so you can be happy, you can be sad. The choice is yours, you see. And so the ones that put on the mask, they must take this persona off in their true nature. Their deepest feelings have to be open to all things. Because some people don't want to get off those hard positions. See, they have hard-hearted ways. They have hard mental ways. They have defensive reactions. As soon as you say something, they'll say, well, that's not my job, or I didn't do that, or I don't know nothing about that. They're right away, defensive reaction, pushing it away. Or, well, why asking me? I mean, well, why? What did I do? You see, you get emotional about it, you see. Or they'll say, oh, yeah? you know, give you a little punch in the nose or something. So if they're physically orientated, they're going to strike out physically. If they're emotionally orientated, they'll strike out emotionally. If they're mentally orientated, they'll strike out mentally. If they're soulfully orientated, they'll strike out soulfully. And how do we strike out soulfully? We come out calm, patient, understanding. We practice patience. We practice being patient. An impatient person cannot be a good psychic person. Now let's take a look at the psychic person. Here on the board we have the heart-centered person. When you are heart-centered, you are psychically orientated. When you are heart-centered, your psychic abilities come on as gifts. You do not have to work for them. They come on because you're at that level. You have to work when you still stay centered in one of the lower point of view. When you come up into your heart center and you're living out your heart, you will have intuitional awarenesses. You will have an ability in your consciousness to command your emotions and command your will. But they still stay in the level of forces. They are not in the level of power. You have the power of knowing. You know, the psychic knows they've gone and seen themselves with a parking place. I'm going to see a parking place today when I go over to the store. And sure enough, when they get over there, because they knew it, there's the parking place. Many times they're driving up and someone's driving out. They've been just waiting for you to come so they could leave. They may have been in the car there and fumbling around, waiting on you, because your will and your desire is to have that parking place. So the will and the desire are sent up to knowing and are to project out the knowing. And so the psychics still use their will and their desire. As you get up higher, the psychic is in the knowing of the four lower powers. Now watch this as this expands now. You go up and you become a creative, but you still only know the four lower powers. You'll know creative, the knowing, the will, and the emotional level. You still won't take that, always take action. See? Someone has to give you a little push to take action because you get lethargic. You lay back. And so you have to be careful when you're psychic. You want all this calm and peace and relaxation that you just don't lay around in your environment. You have to take action. Action. But see, the red is the opposite of green. Green is the psychic power, and red is the opposite of that. So you are seeking to now give expansion. Then look at the psychic again. As they go up to the brow chakra, they're still only using the floor or lower kingdoms. They're saying, not my will, but God's will. I want to know. I want to create. I want to see. I want to know. I want to use my will. I want to do the things I want to do. I want to go where I want to go too. And so they don't necessarily have to be drawing from a higher spiritual level. There are some psychics that pull from the spiritual level of the heart. Now remember, there are different types of psychics. There's physical psychics, emotional psychics, mental psychics, creative psychics. There are psychic psychics. There is spiritual psychics, mystical psychical power. That means that the power has run through their soul and their consciousness out in an assertive way. So the psychic creates what is known as the silver and black mirror. They void consciousness. Many of them, when they go into trance states, will go unconscious and they'll come back. They know they've been someplace nice and someone got to use them while they were out. Well, no thanks. God gave me this body, this mind, this consciousness, this awareness to use. Don't be used by others. If they use you long enough, you will lose your identity, and another identity will come in and take over. Now, some love to have this self-destructive attitudes of giving up themselves. I was no good anyway. You know, I didn't do anything. But with this power, at least the world will get better or something. You know, and they're slowly killing off their individualization, thinking that they are stopping or stunning the ego so that these higher energies come through. So if they get destructive with themselves, they want to hurt themselves. They're taking on this other identity. It's like someone that is trapped by an anger demon. The anger demon just keeps coming through and coming through. And pretty soon they say, I'm angry. You know, I'm an angry person. I can't get over being angry. See, because now, that's the way anger talks. But you, the pure being, don't talk that way. Anger talks. Anger says, I'm angry. See, you, the self, are not angry. You are perfect, whole, and all. You get involved with anger. You get involved with these other things. So the individual knows in the spiritual path to go to that individual state. Now let's take a look at the spiritual being here. As we look at the spiritual being, he has the knowing power of the four lower levels. Then as he expands his consciousness, he has the knowing power of the five lower levels as he goes to the throat center. Now you notice there's an absence of the root chakra, the spleen chakra, and the navel chakra. These are no longer down and outward moving energies. These are in and upward moving energies. In and up. All your actions are for God's sake. All your desires are for God's sake. All your will is for God. Not my body, not my will, not my desires, God, but your body, your will, your desires. So we're raising up and expanding in consciousness. When we go to that perfect vision, we're now power over the lower five kingdoms and that sixth kingdom of walking and talking with God and the masters of light, the higher beings. And then when we go to the center of the crown, we come into master consciousness. Now, the psychic does not have to have the center of the crown open, but the spiritually orientated, head-centered person, and we're talking about head-centered here, touching into the heart and lifting up. I remember there's a teacher, his name was Baba Muktananda. And if you've heard Baba Muktananda's chant, it goes like this. Om Namah Shivaya. Now that chant is doing this. It's going, centered chant. It's a Blu-ray chant. There are violet fire chants. There are chants for these higher consciousness. Remember, whatever point of view you're coming from, it is the monopoly of consciousness over every other point of view. And every other point of view will have to come from your main point of view. If it is an emotional point of view, then physical emotional and mental emotional and all the emotional levels will be under the dominion of the emotions. All the other levels will be under the dominion of those emotions. And so that'll be your first consideration. Your first reaction will come from that level. A spiritually oriented being, a spiritually orientated being, boy, the words are coming faster, I can get them out here. The spiritually orientated being comes from a detached point of view. See? The psychic must come from an objective point of view. But many of them start psychic and end in personality. They start giving a psychic reading and they end up coming down into the personality levels of consciousness. It is when we get into this golden white and higher light that we begin to work miracles, have prophecies, recognition of spirit, or discerning of spirit, as they say, teaching, ministering, becoming an outpouring for God. When we get into the crystal light, we're an outpouring with pure perception, seeing, viewing, objective and detached. The brow and heart are open outpourings of energy. The heart and the brow are open outpourings of energy, constantly pouring out. Elodic force, magnetic force, love and the will and the power of God. As we expand, we began to reach into the higher planes of consciousness. The seekers began to be aware of the virgin spirits and other spirits that are around them when they get on the path. The do-gooders have, sometimes they have angels come to them and speak to them, but they don't always do what they are told to do. The messengers of God come in energy forms, and those energy forms come to them, so they may not understand that. If they're looking for the Persian mythology of a man's body with wings or a woman's body with wings on, it came from Persian mythology. And that image is not the image of an angel. Angels are moving from one dimensional energy to another, and they may appear like it has a wing-like structure, but it's actually the infusing of energy into an image, and then the defusing of that is the wing structure that they see. And there's a light within the center of this field. Many times, it is so small that you don't even see it. You're not aware of it. Maybe you've seen those little specks of light floating around the room, those little specks that come. They come and drop energy in your aura, but you must be accepting. Otherwise, it will not stay. So you may have counsel of angels, even at the do-gooding stage of consciousness, the messengers of God. See? So God can use you, even at the seeker stage, even at that mental stage. But see, you must be God-pointed. One pointed towards God in order to have that kind of guidance. And so you're lifting your emotions, you're lifting your mind to God. Now as you get up into the heart center, you begin to get the lords of form and mind that come. The lords of form and the lords of mind. Now they may be doctors, they may be controls, they may be spiritual beings on the other side. There's a lot of Indians there that love to teach people about the environmental energy. They haven't ascended beyond this fourth dimensional energy. They're still there within that field. But that doesn't say all Indians are on the fourth dimension. Don't get me wrong here. I'm saying that a lot of people get spiritual guidance of Indians, of ancient Oriental people, and these kind of things. I'll tell you, when someone goes to the other side, they're no smarter than when they left here. You must understand this. You gain everything in this world of duality. You get what you've gained here when you leave. You don't go to something and all of a sudden become God conscious and realize on the other side. If you were worshiping Buddha, you'll go to Buddha. If you were worshiping Krishna, you'll go to Krishna. If you were worshiping Christ, you'll go to Christ. If you were worshiping a statue, you'll go into the ground. Your spirit will be bound by the earth. If you were worshiping negatives and those kind of things, you'll go to hell, that place where there's negatives and horrible things happening. If you've been a good person and then expand in service to God and loving God and aware of God, then you go to God. Those that love God go to God. So I seek to go that highest through the Holy Spirit of God to go directly to God. Christ even told us, go boldly to the throne. He says, I've made the way now. The door is open. Go up and ask what you want. Ask God what you want, you know. And we're still saying, oh, Christ, will you please do it for me? Buddha, please, Buddha, Om, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. You know, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, will you do it, Krishna? You're asking someone else, some other aspect, not realizing Krishna is in you, Buddha is in you, Christ is in you, God is in you, the Spirit of God is in you. You are that Om Tetsaron, that power and that light. Understand that power and that light. Then as you raise higher in your consciousness and you start pulling from these higher levels, you start drawing from that Christ consciousness within you. In your own heart, there's a perfect Christ light now. The perfect light shining. Go inward and dwell upon that light. Look for that light until you see that light. 10,000 times 10,000 suns. When you first see it, it's like someone shining a light in your eyes. You even want to try to close your eyes. But see, the inner eye doesn't have any eyelid. See, the inner eye is always open, but you're not always paying attention to the inner eye. You don't always pay attention to these eyes either, do you? Sometimes you're gazing off and thinking about things and seeing other pictures. And then someone will come in the room and they'll say, hey, what are you doing? And say, oh, I wasn't doing nothing. You see, a lot of times that's what we say because we don't want to reveal what we're doing in those finer areas of consciousness. So we don't want to be, you know, get in an argument about it. There's certain things you don't get into battles about. You don't get in battles about politics, religion, or sex. Those three will just drive you nuts. Everybody's got some opinion, some awareness about it. What you do is you get involved with God. May God's great and Holy Spirit guide you. May you all live and move and have your being in the light. Blessings of light. Let me share with you your gaze and your breath exercise and the symbol for this week. Today we want you to gaze on the inner consciousness and the infinite proportions to your inner world. Don't see them as just some flat place on the back of your brow. Now you want to look into the depth of your inner world. You know it is larger than this creation, for all creation is floating within you. Just as all your individual personality creations are within you now, so is all creation within the spirit that you are, one with God. So gaze on the inner consciousness and the depth of it. We also want you to gaze on the inner breath. Watch the inner breath, how you breathe within your higher consciousness. See, you're consuming substance and you're letting substance out. That's the air going in and out. So you have things going in and out of the spirit level that you breathe in and breathe out. Understand how to do the inner breath. Concentrate on the inner breath this week and share the inner breath. Now the symbol is the rising or the ascension spirit of the human. Let me draw that for you right here on the board. Because I want to show you, this is a little different than the descending spirit we had last week. And I hope you all shared the power with that. You notice the descending spirit had a descending in this way. Well, the spirit of man is going up in this way. He has a lost point. And so this is the ascending spirit, and this point is pointing down. Until you find your point and your direction, until this goes upwards, you're still lost. When you make your 10-pointed star, when you make the 10-pointed star, then you make the ascension star. We're at the 9th-pointed star with the astrophysics logos. But when you find your individual point this lifetime and decide to break the life and death cycle and no longer go through these kind of things, but to be an eternal life with God, when you make that, then your spirit rises. When you decide, I'm going to spend all the days of my life with you, God, and you have no doubt about that. See, if you're hard on yourself mentally, emotionally, or physically, or you think bad about yourself, you got bad knowledge about yourself. I mean, we've all done something we didn't like that we did in our lives. But don't hold it as a club over yourself. God forgives you. Leave it go. Don't bring it up again. If you see a mud puddle, you don't have to stick your hand in there to know you get a dirty hand. So in the ascension plane, feel your spirit rising. It says the ascension of the spirit of the human, minus the point. The missing point is the human's incarnation, seeking to awaken the unconscious awareness and to expand the unmanifest itself. When the student finds the point of life, ascends in humanity, becoming at one with the soul of humanity, and gives up the individual ego, then they become the universal supreme beingness, doing the good for all, the will of God. Rebirth and ascension of the individualized consciousness takes place. May God's great and Holy Spirit guide you. May you all live and move and have your being on the path this week. Blessings of light.